KSDR welcomes you to this week's edition of On the Water and in the Air. It's not always about where the fish are biting or where the birds are flying. It's talk about how to go get them. On the Water and in the Air with your hosts Neil Jensen, Randy Aggermeyer, and Lynn Jurens.
Well, we've got Randy Grimes and Lynn Jurens here today. We got Randy on the board, and we are all ready to go. You know, I might have a face for radio today.
You do?
Yeah. About 10 hours of driving through Wisconsin and Minnesota yesterday, looking for some of these baits that people are asking me. What's this Cutter 90? Well, coming up here in a few minutes, we'll get a little better description from the guy who probably just put around $70,000-$80,000 in his pocket from one of those. But things coming up, Walleye League is going on. The fishing world is moving and grooving. National, what do they call it? The NTC, the National NTC. It's a Cabela's sponsored tournament is happening down on the Mississippi River this today and tomorrow. I believe it's a 2-day event. So a lot of things going on in the industry. Though this morning, thought we would have a chance, and we do, before he heads out and bass fishes for the weekend. Corey Springle's on the line. Good morning, Corey. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, you're live and ready to roll. Sitting in the pickup, ready to dump that boat in?
Yep, sitting here in Sturgeon Bay, looking at the flag blowing a little bit, but I'm excited to get back out there. I mean, I love this area, Sturgeon Bay and the whole Door County area. It's walleye fishing, bass or salmon. It's always fun somewhere.
Yeah, the salmon are probably south yet, and that'll warm up in the next probably take another three weeks for that to head that way. But that's a beautiful part of the world. If those out there that haven't been to Door County, you know, in the next few weeks, it's going to liven up there. And the fishing is only the one attraction. I mean, it's a family place to head to. So always love to head up to that area. Corey is there for Corey, tell everyone what you're doing now this weekend after your win. And then we're going to get into some walleye tournament fishing after that.
Yep, I'm up here this week. The Sturgeon Bay Bass Open starts actually tomorrow. It's Friday and Saturday tournament. It's 130 boats, I think, this year. Where we fish out a little sturgeon, we can fish the whole Green Bay system, basically. But it's a really fun tournament. I mean, it's the prime time of year right now. The water temperature is in that 55, almost 60 degree range in some of the bays. Obviously, the main body of water itself is only about 45, 46, but it's a great time of year. When you get into the bass here this time of year, if you're either catching nothing or you're catching them every cast, so it's pretty fun.
Small jaw, fat belly this time of the year. They won't spawn out. What do they spawn out in the 65-degree water temp? I'm not an expert on anything, really.
Just under that, usually like 61, 62 is when it happens. And
yeah,
I mean, there's big fish around here, and that's what's fun. I mean, last weekend's tournament, actually a buddy of mine won it. He had a 29-pound average for 2 days, and, you know, that's five fish, so 6-pound average.
That's almost like a walleye tournament.
Exactly.
It's almost like a walleye tournament on Winnebago.
Yep.
Not quite, huh? I have put the word out there this morning, and I'll say it verbally also. I put it on the post. We're going to get into this. If you have some questions in regards to you know, Corey's win this past weekend. Corey, give everyone just a quick little update where you've come in the last few years. This is like 5 wins in 3 years, 5 wins in 4 years. I mean, this is getting to be a little more common than, and then those that are not familiar with the largest tour in the walleye, just give them a little bit of an update here on where you've come from.
Yeah. From the actual walleye, I started in 2013, and that season I actually won 2 of the events out of 4, and then the following year I won the championship at the end of the year, and then this year I won our first qualifier at Lake Winnebago. So that was 4 tournaments in the National Walleye Tour, but the previous year before The National Walleye Tour started. I won an FLW Tour event in Escanaba. And the year before that, I won two tournaments, an MWC tournament and a national team championship in 2011. So it's been quite a few years, or quite a few wins in the last few years. It's been pretty fun.
Yeah, they often talk in the walleye and even in the bass that it there's just a little something. You might need the right baits. You might need the right situation. You might need a tad bit of luck, but you know what, Corey? I'm not seeing a whole lot of luck in this. What's something that you kind of attribute your recent win to in Winnebago?
It all boils down to preparation. I mean, I like to be prepared for about anything. And, when I get to an event, when I'm pre-fishing or even, for tournament time, I mean, I want to have everything I think I'm going to need if it's, certain spinners tied up or whatever rigs that I'm going to be using. I want all that done before I get there. So when I'm at an event, I can focus on, what I need to do, where the fish are, instead of trying to stay up late at night and tie my equipment up and get that ready. So I like to get everything ready when I get there. So when I'm there, I'm thinking about fishing and I can get to bed earlier at night instead of staying up late trying to get all that stuff ready.
Yeah.
But it all boils down to the same thing when I hit the water is preparation. I mean, I'm not trying to catch all my fish in practice. What I want to figure out in practice is where the fish are and what they're relating to and build that pattern up. And what I do a lot is, the majority of my days are not spent fishing. I might fish an area for a little bit after I catch a fish or two, and then it's all about just dissecting that area. And I use my Lowrance electronics. I mean, it's insane amount how many waypoints that I have in my unit. Just because I want to map every inch of that the rock hump, I want to know the ins and outs of everything. If there's a little sand flat on this corner, if there's a big rock here, I want to know where all that is. So when it comes to tournament time, I know exactly where I need to fish. If I need to make three casts to that big rock, or this is the steepest part of the break on that rock hump, I know exactly where all that is, so I can be very precise and efficient when it comes tournament time. And that's what it all boils down to, is being efficient. I mean, we only have 8 hours generally in our day, and it's the same with the weekend angler. Time is everything. The more efficient you're going to be, or the more efficient you can be, the more fish you're going to end up catching at the end of the day.
Well, you talked electronics there, and where these have come in the side imaging has changed the shallow water searches entirely. And I saw that in some of the PR afterwards that you were hitting quite a few spots, and if it didn't feel right after 10 minutes, you'd head to that next spot. Did you kind of understand heading in that there might be this pattern going on, and then you spent your time, instead of putting hooks in fish, spent your time just searching those areas for something specific in the weed bed or something specific in little rock spots that you knew about, or did you find some new spots in this tournament that you thought may produce, and they did?
It was kind of, all of the above that you just said. I definitely found new areas. I mean, like you talked about side imaging. I mean, if there was one piece of sonar on my boat, I could only choose one of them. It would be side imaging. I can do basically everything I need to do with side imaging. And you can cover so much water, when I'm in, I'd say hunting mode, when I'm looking for something. I mean, I'll shoot, even in, say, 3 feet of water, I'll shoot 100 feet out each side, so I'm covering 200 feet of water. Obviously, when I want to get a little more detailed picture, then I condense it and maybe scale it down to 60 feet out each side just so I have a little bit clearer picture. But, side imaging, you can find so much and cover so much water, and you can actually see the picture, basically how the bottom lays, instead of trying to visualize it from the top down and interpret what your sonar is reading. When you lay it all flat, you can see where the pockets are in the weeds, you can see where the bigger rocks are, if obviously it's tough to mark fish and rocks, like I talk about a lot of my seminars, I don't use side imaging to find fish. I use side imaging to find the structure that the fish are going to relate to. If you have a lot of sand bottom and smooth bottom or mud, you can mark fish very easily with side imaging. But anytime you're around structure and rocks, it's hard to decipher, what's a rock. A lot of times if there's a bunch of them, and which one's the fish. And so I use it majority of the time for, you know, just finding structure. But the same thing being said, you know, I run two units in the front of my boat. When I'm up on the deck, I want to have all those same, you know, tools at my hands, you know, that I have at my console. And basically one of the units, one of my HCS-12s is actually 3/4 of the screen is just side imaging. You know, I want that picture as big as I can see. Obviously, the smaller the picture it is, if I split it in half, the smaller everything else is going to look, and the harder it is going to be to decipher. And so I make that screen very big for side imaging because that's how important it is to me. Even when I'm fishing, when I'm casting to these areas, I mean, I'm looking at side imaging, and that's it. I refer back to the waypoints, but I roughly know with a couple of glances at my mapping unit what, you know, where I need to cast. Within side imaging is the next thing. I mean, if I'm shooting out 80 feet to, you know, each side, 80 feet about, you know, a little further than you can cast. So I can see the water I'm covering on side imaging, you know, on my, you know, on my unit in front of me. So if I can see that bigger rock, or all of a sudden I can see that there's three fish off to the side of the rock hump over in the sand, I know where I can make my cast to. And I run a 0.1 positional GPS antenna in my boat, so the cursor shows me on my mapping unit the way my boat is facing. So I know where those directional casts need to be to hit a waypoint or to hit whatever piece of structure that I want to cast to.
Yes, that it's starting to there's a couple comments here. Brady Walls is like, details, and if you're just joining with us now, and a lot of people are starting to join in because they see the live pop up on their Facebook feed, but you know, go back and listen to the start of this show, everyone, and he has, I mean, the one thing that I've learned from Corey Springle versus many other fishermen that have been successful is that he will share the details. So there's more here. Go back and listen to the start of the show, and you'll be able to do that on – I'll probably tag his Facebook page, and, of course, you can come to my Facebook page also. Going back to Winnebago and after you – You map out these spots, and I think that's, you know, when people go, well, can you jump in my boat and help me? You know, I think it just takes time in their own time to start getting comfortable with what you've just talked about.
Yes, exactly. I mean, it's the same with myself. I mean, when I started using it, obviously I'm a little bit younger guy, the electronics comes easy to me. But time is everything. The more confidence that you can build in what you are seeing, you know, and a lot of this comes back to this exact tournament that I'm at right now, is Green Bay here. Early in the year, the water is super clear, and I'm talking areas where you can see bottom in 35 feet. And So you can visually see what your electronics is also telling you. Yeah. And so it's a, you know, pretty neat, you know, even this body of water, I've learned so much about how fish relate to structure, you know, bass and walleyes especially. I mean, when everyone talks about transition lines, the fish follow transition lines, and when you're fishing dirty water, you don't really, you're not really reminded on how important those transitions are. When you're in a clear body of water like this, and you can actually see the fish swimming, and they're not 2 feet, 3 feet in the rocks, they're not 2 or 3 feet in the sand, they're literally right on that edge, swimming in a single file line. I mean, you visually see, and you can relate to that, you know, in those dirty water times, that this is how important that is. And, I mean, I guide on Devil's Lake in North Dakota ice fishing for perch. And perch, I swear, are related to smallmouth more than they're related to walleyes because they're that specific on those transition lines, especially, you know, ice fishing in those deeper water situations. But, yes, everything is confidence. It doesn't matter if it's a bait, if it's a color, or it's your electronics. I mean, everything comes down to confidence. If you don't have confidence in what you're doing or using, it's not going to work for you.
So, you know, there's I was chatting with Chip Lear a little bit the other day, and we actually had him on, and then we were texting, and he goes, you know, anything we can do, Lynn, to help get this tournament world promoted. And you know what I thought this week is, you know, a lot of people have read your article on what you were using. You know, I've had calls in the last couple of days from people going, hey, where do I buy those Cutter 90s that Corey was using? I'd like to see one of those. Those things sound like they cast good. And so, I mean, really, the promotion and the ideas that you share really are resonating. And you know, so I thought, let's get into a little bit of the detail on how you chose that bait and where can people find them other than buying them on the internet?
So the Cutter 90, it's a shallow version. There is a deeper version that has been out for, I think, probably like 3 years. But the deeper version is more of a jerkbait style for, you know, just constantly twitching. It doesn't have the greatest action on a straight retrieve. But the shallow version, 90 is a size, and it's a two-hook size, and there's also 110, which is a three-hook size. But the 90 size has great, you know, action for straight retrieving. You know, it's also a great jerkbait. You control it. But this bait just came out last September, so it hasn't been out that long. I do believe that Shields carries it, but other than that, you know, I haven't been out to a bunch of retailers. I do most of my shopping online, but you can find it on Berkeley's website. I mean, the majority of the colors that I was using were, you know, white variations. I mean, that chameleon pearl color has been one of my favorites. It was the same color I was using last year when we were at Prairie du Chien, only in the Digger 6.5 at that time. But no, that Cutter is a bait that I actually had a chance. I mean, I've been using it probably for 2 years at least. Just field testing the bait. You know, I do a lot of bait development with Berkeley, and it's probably one of the funnest parts of what I do is, you know, developing products and then, you know, visually seeing them come from the ground up and then getting a chance to fish a 3D printed prototype, you know, that's super glued together and before it goes into, you know, production phase. And it's a really cool thing. And I've had a lot of trust in that bait, you know, since the beginning.
Yeah.
And obviously it finally came out and it proved itself right away.
That makes a difference too. I mean, you get some confidence in, and you catch a couple fish on something. And really, I'm not sure if the colors, where did I find them? I took off from Madison, Wisconsin. A guy wants me to buy him two in a perch color. And I said, well, I know the bait, like you were talking, what's that?
The natural perch color is my favorite color.
Yes, I mean, that's the color they came out in that bigger one 2-3 years ago. And I said, I know I have, you know, three of those. Well, no, he said, I want it to go a little shallower, and I think this one has a little bit different roll to it. And
yeah,
so
totally different action.
Does it really? So yeah, you know,
The
natural perch. I mean, what a great color for lakes out there and lakes in the Dakotas. And I think people just, you know, they kind of they start searching, and all of a sudden, I will say this and admit this. I started in Madison, Wisconsin yesterday at noon and got home at 10 o'clock last night. So you can tell I spent, that should have been a 7.5 hour drive. I spent 2.5 hours in stores looking on the way back. I did only get to Cabela's and Mills Fleet Farm. So you guys can eliminate those stores from where you want to check.
Yeah, but I know Mills doesn't have it. I know that.
They were carrying the baits the last couple of years, the earlier versions of these. I don't know how to really describe them other than they're a jacked up flicker shad or flicker minnow. You know, they're like a $6.99 bait. They're, you know, they're $6, $7, $8 bait versus the $3.99 baits. Am I correct?
Yep, I think it retails for $5.99 or $6.99 and. You know, one thing I love about those Berkeley hard baits, you know, the ones, you know, that newer version of hard baits that came out with, is they all have those Fusion 19 hooks. And anyone that's ever used any of those crankbaits or used any Fusion 19 hooks knows how sharp they are. I mean, they're insanely sticky, and you'll see more this coming year with details on actually how sharp they are compared to the rest of the competition. And so that's one thing I love about those baits is that right out of the package, they have the stickiest hooks in them you can buy.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of good baits, but it just seemed like a couple of the colors and like the white one that you used, I mean, what a dandy in stained water. Louis Valence is a guide out on Lake Oahe. He's up in Canada bear hunting right now. He's tuning in. Good morning, Louis, from Western Canada. I think you're in Alberta. Good morning to you. And there's a lot of other people listening from around the country. In the last minute here, Corey, just anything that you would like to add involving, you know, how you can help those of us that kind of sit, watch, and learn, and you know, though everybody with the weather forecast now is just getting ready to get out.
One of the biggest, words of advice I could give anyone is, mainly the same thing I talked about earlier in the show, is, just using and understanding your electronics. Obviously we pay good money for these electronics, and for the most part, most people use the very basic portion. And even the screen size, everyone thinks, well, I'm going to buy a bigger screen just so I can see it better. The reason you buy a bigger screen is so you can do more things with it. You can split that screen up into many smaller sizes for your down imaging, your side imaging, your mapping. You can, little Lowrance units, you can run multiple map chips on one screen. And so you can compare, multiple mapping to get, your best, knowledge that you can get on your unit, per mapping card. Obviously, we all know every mapping card is different per body of water.
Oh, yes.
And, so it's another great advantage there. But, it's just, like I said, it's utilizing your electronics and gaining that confidence in it. I can hardly fish an area anymore these days when I pull in there, I'm just driving around. Even here on Sturgeon Bay, I think the last few days, there's areas I know, but there's areas, those same areas that I don't know exactly everything. And so I literally, if you look at my trails from the last couple of days, it's a maze, basically a grid pattern going back and forth, understanding with side imaging exactly how it lays, where the little bit deeper trenches are, because these bass out here relate to such small little specific areas. And I want to know exactly where I need to cast to. This tournament is a lot of bullets fishing in a lot of small areas. So when I pull into an area, I want to know where I need to be and where I need to cast instead of trying to just kind of mosey my way around. And so there's a lot of, Dr. Sonar, he has a bunch of DVDs that do a great job with understanding your sonars. And the big thing is understanding cone angles, your down imaging versus your 2D. And there's times when one's going to show you something, the other one's not. And when you can understand why it's doing that, it's going to help you interpret what it's showing you a lot better. Same with side imaging. And so it's one of those things where we spend a lot of money on these electronics. You might as well get the most out of them because it's going to make you a better fisherman.
Yeah, that is so true. And, you may think that this only applies for Winnebago or Sturgeon Bay, Green Bay, but this applies all the way across the walleye belt, all the way across the bass belt. If you're going to Lake Oahe or you're going to Devil's Lake or you're going to Mille Lacs, all these things work in every single body of water. So, Corey, thank you for spending a few times. We're going to let you get back out on the water, go explore that underwater world, and I think that's kind of what everybody, once they understand that part of it, this world of fishing becomes a little more intriguing.
Exactly. Thanks for having me, Len.
All right. We'll see you soon. Take care, friend.
Take care. Bye.
All right. Well, Randy, we, of course, pushed it an extra minute, but that's all right. We are going to send this live show right on over to Randy Grimes. Thank you.